day, it's fading tonight. It's not that bad, I know, to be alone.
Yes, that was the Nude Party, and not that bad, from Look Who's Back, released on Friday. Before that, we heard The Lone Bellow, and After the Rain, from What a Time to Be Alive. Oh, wait. Let me see this. Wait. Your radio next. Apparently, the stream stopped 2 minutes ago and restarted rather quickly. Let me see if this affected the archive. Our audio capture NJ Radio. I did. No, it didn't. It didn't affect it. I don't know. I'm probably gonna have to use a total recorder for the archives this week. But anyway, we heard the Beach Boys and Johnny Carson remastered in the year 2000. That was from the compilation The Beach Boys, We've Got a Groove, The Brothers Studio Years. That was from CD1, also released on Friday. And we started things off with Jill Scott and Be Great, featuring Trombone Shorty from To Whom This May Concern, rather coincidentally, released on Friday. So that's the New Music Express for this week. That's a... 4 minutes past the hour. If you want to join us in the IRC, you can join us at gamebird.e/us, channel pound skyscanner. You can also join us on the web at thenextshow.com, replace the O with a 04 playlist and show archives. The archives will be uploaded almost immediately after the show ends. The playlist will not be updated for about a day or so. I've been pretty good about updating the playlist in the morning. You can also join us at lowbudgetreviews.com for low-budget DVD and Blu-ray reviews. Amazingly enough, you survived hour number two of this week's The Next Show. We'll be back with hour number three of the show, featuring Fun with Fish, 1-3 songs by America's Favorite Jam Band, and also future artist, which is Barclay James Harvest. We'll have that right after this.
Radio!
Hi guys, this is Bruce Woody Pokey Boner to
the voice of Gay Creek.
Streaming live from my desktop to your living room, or wherever you happen to be right now, this is Radio Free New Jersey.
The experts were wrong again with a blockbuster job report that beat every metric. Private sector payrolls were up 172,000, which is more than twice what the economy needs. Government jobs actually fell by 40K to the lowest federal payroll since 1966. The unemployment rate dropped, hours worked rose, which predicts future hiring. The number of people saying they're employed jumped by 500,000, got off the couch and started looking for work, which is a good sign for the economy, but normally raises the unemployment rate. We get a 450,000-person drop in part-timers who could not find full-time work. Rated U6 underemployment, so people who want a job but are not looking, crashed by 600,000. Even manufacturing rose, breaking a 22-month trend that started deep in Biden. The biggest was the average hourly earnings, which grew 5% annualized. That's close to twice inflation. It's actually six times inflation, according to Trueflation's current tally. Now, last week I had a pair of videos talking about the so-called weak job market, how it was driven by paper factors like federal layoffs, deportations, Biden's zombie green energy going bust, and slower federal spending compared to the Biden orgy. All while job boosters, meaning Fed rate cuts and trillions building new factories, all take time. Well, this job report says we are going from the pain to the gain. Now, it's not all rosy, starting with a massive 900,000 downward job revision by the notorious Bureau of Labor Statistics. Almost all of it, fake jobs under Biden. The culprit is the BLS's so-called birth-death model of company formation that uses data from the COVID-era explosion of millions of fake businesses set up to steal federal money they were handing out like candy during COVID from Somali leering centers on down. The other concern is AI. For a year, I've been predicting a two-speed job market where blue collars grow from deportations and new factories, but white collars get slammed as AI starts to replace cubicle jobs in finance, consulting, and IT. In fact, last month, finance jobs lost 22,000, down almost 50,000 since last May. IT was flat this month, but down 90,000 since its post-COVID peak. Journalists are down 300,000 since post-COVID peak. Meanwhile, construction was up 33,000 last month, driven by factory construction. Manufacturing tacked on another 5. This Robin Hood job market is a welcome change from 40 years of blue-collar slaughter. Still, considering most American jobs are white-collar, there are millions at risk. So what's next, brought to you by iTrust Capital, the job market is picking up and should accelerate with new factories and Fed rate cuts. At the same time, AI job losses should start showing up in the numbers later this year. Not catastrophically, prediction market Kalshi projects just 1 in 11 odds of getting over 7 on unemployment, but AI will go from hypothetical to real. The question being, can the factories and rate cuts soak up the cubicle refugees, or do we need more from Congress, specifically cutting tax and red tape for small business that employs 62 million Americans, roughly half the population, and could employ tens of millions more if bureaucrats get off their back? Listen to all last week's videos in a single 20-minute podcast. Search Peter Sedange at Spotify, YouTube, Apple, really wherever you watch your podcast. Okay, we'll be watching. See you next time.
This is Number 6, host of the Six of One show, and I'm grateful that so many of you have donated to help keep the lights on here at RFD. If you love the programming on this network, I hope you'll consider making a donation. Now, we know what it's like to live on the brink of poverty, and we don't want any of our listeners to make their situations worse. But some of you folks have jobs, and even $5 a month from enough people will go a long way towards defraying costs. $50 a month would go even further. So, if you value the teaching, or you just happen to be in a generous mood, head on over to dishnuts.net on the web and make a one-time or recurring donation. And I'll thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was Liz Phair and Supernova, the X-Brigade version, from Whip Smart, released in 1994. And we started things off with Velocity Girl and Sorry Again, the remastered in 2025. That was from Simpatico. Originally released in 1994, I think. That was from the 2026 re-release. Remastered and expanded. Oh, right there? Let me find the album here. Here, wait. Yeah. Simpatico. Yeah, 1994 album by Velocity Girl. Okay. Yeah, I was right. So anyway, now we probably get to Fun with Fish before we fall too far behind. So let me cue the intro here. Yeah, intro. And now it's time for some Fun with Fish on the next show. Yes, Fun with Fish. 1 to 3 songs by America's favorite jam band. At least with the breakup of Grateful Dead. Anyway, this is kind of interesting because we played the Rolling Stones earlier in the show, so I thought we'd play a cover version of a song by the Rolling Stones. Here's the Fish. This is from the album I downloaded today. This is from Hampton Winston-Salem 97 CD1. Here's Fish. An Emotional Rescue. Fun with Fish on the next show.
Thank you. Yes, you could be mine tonight and every night. I'll be your knight in shining armor, coming to your emotional rescue. You will be mine, mine, all mine, mine. I'll be your knight in shining armor, ride across the desert in an armored charger.
takes me back to the days gone by. Keep the pattern till June. Make the other side right. Trying to defend.
Yeah, so you got Fun with Fish. Two songs by Fish. That was Halfway to the Moon from Fuego, released in 2014. That was just a studio track. And we started things off with Fish and their rendition of the Rolling Stones' Emotional Rescue from Hampton, this from the album Hampton Winston Salem 97. No information about when that track was recorded, or just as Hampton Winston Salem 97. So it was apparently recorded in 1997. But anyway, that's it for Fun with Fish. And we probably, it's 43 minutes past the hour, so we probably should get to the featured artist segment before we fall too far behind. Let me cue the intro here.
And now, the featured artist segment on the next show.
And this week, we're featuring the music of Barclay James Harvest, which consists at this time of John Lee's guitars and backing vocals, Les Holroyd on bass guitars and keyboards and backing vocals, late Stuart Woolley Wolstenholme on Mellotron keyboards and lead and backing vocals, and finally, late Mel Pritchard on drums and percussion. So anyway, that's the band. It existed then. They released once again on Harvest Records in the UK and Sire Records in the United States on February 5th, 1971. Let's listen to a track from this album. Oh, yeah. Here we go. This is called Song for Dying. Yes. Our featured artist, Barclay James Harvest.
And two of them died in the morning. Search not your soul if you want to be right, but two of them died in the morning.
That was Barclay James Harvest and Song for Dying from, once again, released on Harvest Records in 1971, but that's from the 2002 remaster. This brings us to their next album, Barclay James Harvest and Other Short Stories, released on November 1st, 1971, on Harvest Records, but also released on Sire Records in the United States. What else do they have? Bonus tracks remastered, Harvest Records in Germany, EMI, released on EMI in Japan. Also released on Harvest Records in the European Union. And re-released on Esoteric Records in 2020 and 2024. So yeah, same lineup as the previous album. So also produced by Barclay James Harvest and Wally Allen. Let's listen to a track from this album. Here's Barclay James Harvest and Someone There You Know from Barclay James Harvest and Other Short Stories. By the way, if you want to join us in the IRC, you can join us at gamebird.eachrelates.us, channel pound Skyscanner.
Thank you.
child. I saw the light of day shine in her eyes. Loved her like a baby, and I raised her to the sky. Seems the light of day is her throne. And she walks along the seashore, and she listens to the sea. And I can't say if she ever thinks of me. Or just a drop of water in her hand. A pebble or a broken shell, a rock upon the shore. I doubt if I could love her anymore. As she walks along the seashore, and she listens to the sea. I can't say if she ever thinks of me.
Wizard of True Songs by Barclay James Harvest. That was Ursula, the Swansea song. And we started that set off with Someone There You Know. Both of those were from Barclay James Harvest and other short stories released on Harvest Records in 1971. Let's bring this to their next album, Baby James Harvest, released on November 10th. 1972 on Harvest Records in the UK and Sire Records in the United States. Let me read a review here. Baby James Harvest was the third studio album by these guys. It's not usually called as one of their best albums, and to be honest, it's easy to understand why. Although I like the opening track, and the rest of the material is more or less mediocre. Barclay James Harvest has never been one of my favorite bands, but they have some solid albums. Unfortunately, Baby James Harvest isn't one of those. It's a pretty boring record full of quite tame and lame symphonic prog slash art rock. Not recommended. So yeah, it's that album. But I do like the opening track, so we'll play that. Here's Barclay James Harvest and Crazy Over You. Future Artist and Barclay James Harvest on the next show. That was Barclay James Harvest and Crazy Over You from Baby James Harvest, released on Harvest Records in 1972. Sire Records in the United States. It's a mediocre album, but still. Has some highlight. Oh, here we go. All these gave it, like, what was it, 4 stars? Let's see if we can read the review for this. If we can. Here we go. Oh, they don't even have a full review. This is just from a user review. This is another early classic album from the psychedelic prog rock crossover band Barclay James Harvest. Complex and beautiful. Every track is a winner. The rest you can discover by listening to it for yourself. Apparently, this guy liked the album, I guess. Alright, well, anyway, that's it for this hour of the show. If you want to join us in the IRC, you can join us at gamer.eaaa.us, channel pound skyscanner. You can also join us on the web at thenextshow.com. Release the O with 0 for playlists and show archives. The archives will get uploaded almost immediately after the show ends. The playlist will not be updated for about a day or so. I'm pretty good at updating the playlist in the morning, but you can also join us at lowbudgetreviews.com for low-budget DVD and Blu-ray reviews. So anyway, amazingly enough, you've arrived at hour number 3 of this week's The Next Show. We'll be back at hour number 4 featuring top 20 albums from 1970 this week, part 2. And we'll... Oh, wait. Did I not put this down here? Alright, well, we'll have that. Right after this.
Was that 6 last week?
6 is record.
No! I picked the wrong one. Alright. Oh, here, this is the next show. So, my bad.
Was that 6 last week?
The next show on Radio Free Digital.
I love you, Dish Nuts, because when we first started Tech TV in 1998, that was about the only people who could watch. Radio Free Dish Nuts. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
This is RFD.
Do you need a promo for your show? Contact Byron Lee Productions. Amazing single track editing and eventual peakish delivery.
This song is corny and trite.
How come you want to be an animal?
I personally wouldn't say so much as being an animal as it is getting to entertain people who like to see giant animals running around and shaking their hand, playing with them.
How do you catch an animal?
We don't actually catch the animals. We pay people to make the fursuits, or you can make them yourselves.
How come you put a staple on your lip?
It's piercing. I just wanted to get it one day.
What kind of animal you want to be, dingus?
Probably a dog.
Nope.
No?
That's not it. You'd be a dangatang. That's what you look like. What kind of animal do you think I would be?
Well, we have an extra outfit that would fit you.
Hey, let's turn into some animals and see what happens. Let's check it out. How come I have to be a donkey?
You look good.
Do you see the donkey dangus on camera? Does it come out of the bathroom hole? Had a whole can of cream corn for breakfast. Hey, I have an idea. Let's have an animal parade. Ready, go. It's not that fun, but what else are you going to do dressed up like a dang animal?
And now, the wild card segment on the next show. Yes, we go from furries to to the top 20 albums from 1970. And this week, for recap, here's what we had. We had number 20, Grateful Dead, American Beauty. Number 19, The Beatles, Let It Be. Number 18, Emerson, Lake and Palmer, ELP. Number 17, is that the self-titled album? And number 17, Van Morrison, Moondance. And number 16, Pink Floyd, Adam Hart Mother. So this brings us to number 15, which is Jethro Tull and Benefit. And I'm trying to find a review for right here. Go. I remember when this, album, when this came out all those years, thinking how terrific the album was. Yeah, this, which album was this? Oh, here, 1970 studio album by, third studio album by British rock band Jethro Tull, released in April 1970, and here's a review of it. I remember this came out all those years thinking how terrific the album was, and my view has not changed with the years. The mood is somber, but its album is the most emotive, moody, and soulful in its whole catalog. In its respect, it is unique. Whether it is or not, it sounds like a full band collaboration, not just a vehicle for Ian Anderson. But anyway, let's listen to a track from this album. So I picked the track, like, it's an obvious track, the single from the album. But this is the album version, not the single version. Sorry, this is a teacher from Benefit by Jethro Tull.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, that was Jethro Tull and Teacher, the album version from Benefit, released in 1970. But anyway, that was the album version rather than the single version. The single version is a minute longer and doesn't have the flute track that the album version has. But anyway, this brings us to the next album, number 14, Paul McCartney. And McCartney, his debut solo album, was released 1 week before Jethro Tull's Benefit. This was released on Apple. On Apple Records, in the UK and the United States, I think. Yes. Here's a review. These days, Paul McCartney is probably thought of as a silly old buffoon who messed up Hey Jude at the London 2012 Olympic opening ceremony for embarrassing everyone at the Velodrome. This is a shame because he was responsible for some of the best music of the last century. However, this album, Paul McCartney's solo debut from 1970, proves he could really be a silly young buffoon because, despite the wonderful solo quality of the sound quality reissue, this is an awful record. It sounds like half-thought-out demos, and while being a true solo album with a running time of 35 minutes, it seems much longer. Yes, Maybe I'm Amazed is brilliant, and there are a few other things that are probably good. But George Harrison said, while praising Maybe I'm Amazed, that and that would be something, the rest just don't do anything for me, and what John Lennon says probably not repeatable. I love Ram, but McCartney is junk. But he got to number 14 on this guy's top 20 of 1970s. Listen to a track from this album. Here's one of the highlights of the album, Maybe I'm Amazed, chronicling the top 20 albums of 1970 on the next show.
Maybe I'm
Yes, Paul McCartney, and Maybe I'm Amazed from McCartney's his debut solo album, released in 1970. So that brings us to the next album, Led Zeppelin 3. Search here. Zeppelin 3. I spelt it wrong. Yeah, how did I spell it right? But anyway, released October 5th, 1970 on Atlantic Records. So, basically, I mean, you know the story with Zeppelin 3. They released Zeppelin 2, which was an excellent album, sold about 6 million copies. So then they decided, okay, well, I guess like folk music is in right now, so we'll release a folk album, and it didn't do as well. In fact, it sold about like 3 million copies, so they decided that they weren't going to do that again. And the next album was like more of a mixture of light and heavy songs. Oh, here you go. The album was one of the most anticipated in 1970, and the shipping date was held up by the intricate inner sleeve design based around a Vauvel with, what was it, crop rotation? Crop rotation chart. Numerous images visible through outer holes in the outer cover. It was an immediate commercial success upon release and topped the UK and US charts. Although many critics were initially confused over change in musical style, the album gave the album a mixed response. Let's read a review. Oh, here we go. This is an actual enjoyable album from start to almost finished. The only Led Zeppelin album that you can claim that. Hats off to Roy Harper. Fuck, F is up so bad they had to subtract half a star. It blew all the momentum off the album. Otherwise, this is probably Led Zeppelin's best album. It's worth picking up. So anyway, let's do the track for me. I'm gonna play Out on the Tiles, but I already played that, so I'm gonna play something different. Here's Led Zeppelin and Bronyer Stomp. Anyway, we're chronicling the top 20 albums of 1970 on the next show. By the way, if you want to join us in the IRC, you can join us at gamebird.eat888.us, channel pound Skyscanner. You can also join us on the web at thenextshow.com, replace the O with a zero, for playlists and show archives. Zeppelin, Bronyor Stomp. From Led Zeppelin 3, number 13 in our top 20 of 1970. So this brings us to number 12, which is Miles Davis and Bitches Brew, released on March 30th, 1970, on Columbia Records, produced by Teo Macero. This is like I'm not that well versed in jazz. I'm scrolling down here. Here's the review. Probably the greatest jazz fusion record of all time. Certainly the one I spent the most time admiring. The impressive trumpeting and improvisation of Miles is band. Is complemented well by the incredible musical landscapes he creates within each song. One of the most ambitious, challenging, and interesting albums ever made. 5 stars. So anyway, let's listen to a track from this album. Here's Miles Davis from Bitches Brew. And Miles Runs the Voodoo Down, chronicling the 20 best albums of 1970 on the next show.
Thank you.
Miles Davis. And Miles Runs the Voodoo Down from Bitches Brew. Released in 1970s. That's from the 40th anniversary edition. Released in 2010. So, anyway, this brings us to the next album. Number 11. George Harrison, All Things Must Pass. So, yeah, this is a triple album released on Apple Records on November 27th, 1970. So, yeah, let me read a review here. This is, This is a five-star review, by the way. One day, George Harrison woke up and realized he was no longer going to have to play third fiddle to his Beatles bandmates and got to put all his material on a single. No, wait. Double album and blew the doors off. And a triple album, actually. Blew the doors off of just about anything his old friends would do post-fab. Seriously, McCartney would never put out an album of this magnitude. And both discs here are better than anything solo or Wings. And Lennon, while seeing beyond belief with classic Ono Band and Imagine, never came close to actually sounding like the Beatles for an entire album. And for me, the combination of the first two records is a better collection of songs than the combination of Imagine and Plastic Ono. There's so much beauty in the world, and George captured a huge bottle of it for this amazing record. So I thought I'd play to represent All Things Must Pass. Thought I'd play the second single from this album, and that is What Is Life? We're chronicling the best albums of 1970 on the next show. If you want to join us in the IRC, you can join us at gamebird.eaaa.us, channel pound Skyscanner. You can also join us on the web at thenextshow.com, the place to deal with the zero for playlists and show archives.
What I feel, I can't say. My love is up to you any time of day. Your love that you need, and I try my best to say
That was what is George Harrison and What Is Life from All Things Must Pass. Number 11 on our countdown of the top 20 albums of 1970. So this brings us to number 10. I don't think I get to number 10 this week. Joni Mitchell and Ladies of the Canyon, released on April 1970 on A&M Records. Oh, actually, no. Reprise Records. Reprise Records, in the, which is a subsidiary of Warner Brothers. So here's the review from it. Over here. This is... Oh, wait, no, yeah. Oh, here. The first of five perfect albums. Morning Morgantown, Raining House Night, Woodstock and the Circle Game, the best year on an album with no low points. And here's another review. As usual, this 3.5 out of 5 stars. As usual, stellar performances from Joni all around. Her ability to carry a song with very bare instrumentals, using her own voice to flesh out songs, is so incredible to listen to. Latter having so many standards across the records, my favorite being the title track. What drags this record, though, the feel of a chunk of these songs just need more. Either the lyrics, instrumentals, or both felt unrealized. Really give me the sense that that's it. Really great high points, though. So anyway, here's a track from the album. An album that was a... best known because it was covered by Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, and also by, what's the name, Matthew Southern Comfort did a cover version of this. And here's Joni Mitchell from Ladies of the Canyon, and this is a song called Woodstock. Thank you. Larry Mitchell in Woodstock from, it was from, Ladies of the Canyon, released in the 1970s, were, number 10 are 10 best, top 20 albums of, 1970. So this brings us to number 9, Black Sabbath and Paranoid. Here's a review of this album. Oh, by the way, this was released on Warner Brothers Records on September 18th, 1970. Also released on Vertigo Records. And produced by Roger Bain. So, anyway, review of it. I'm not a fan of Ozzy's voice. In fact, I don't like Ozzy's voice at all. But still, Paranoid is an easy 4.5 stars album. What if instead of Ozzy, we'd have an average singer singing here? Easy 5 stars. What if instead of Ozzy, we'd have a good or great singer singing in the album? In that case, Paranoid would be the best album ever. Great job, Iommi, Butler, and Ward. So anyway, here's the track from this album. Here's Black Sabbath from Paranoid. This is the second single from the album, Iron Man. Chronicling the best albums of 1970. On the next show. Paranoid. Second thing. Number 9 on our list of top 20 albums of 1970. So, yeah, this is the end of our of this installment of top 20 albums of 1970. So next week we'll have numbers 8 through 1, and I think we'll get through it next week. Yeah, we probably will. There aren't that many songs left. There's only one song that's like, more than 5 minutes. So anyway, yeah, that's it for the show. Oh, by the way, yes, show's over. We ran out of time. So anyway, I guess Eric and Ernie are going to play us out of here. Sorry, yeah, I'm gonna get to some work here. I'm gonna play some CCNA and probably. Oh, shoot! I should watch Marco Rubio's speech at the Munich Security Conference because, like, I know what it is. Like, basically, like, you serve the empire, the American Empire. It's like you serve the Jaguar. But yeah, I think I should listen to it to see what it's all about. Sun, bring me love. The next live show on RFC will be the Tom and Daryl afternoon show at 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 Central. And after that, you have Jim Pemberton. Probably give me back to the 70s. Yes. Also, go to like dishnuts.net for more scheduling information. Stay tuned for a replay of Club Impaler Overnight, Brad the Impaler replay from years ago. Be as warm as the sun from up above. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love, sweet love. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love. This is number 6, reminding you to lather, rinse, repeat. Do something for the tree and nails, oh yes. Drive safely and drink milk. Show's over. We'll probably have an equally awesome show next week. So stay tuned for next week's show. Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye.
Yeah, the show's over. Goodbye. Turn off the radio. Why are you still listening? Goodbye. Goodbye, goodbye. 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 Thank you.